going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. It is high noon in the District of Columbia, where the Washington Commanders just took a tackle. A tackle from the University of Oregon.
That is where
James Crepia lives and covers the Oregon Ducks for the Oregonian. James, what's up, man? Thanks for making time for us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Appreciate you.
Let's start. What do we know about this kid? It seems like there's a lot to be excited about with young Mr. Connerly.
Yeah, well, you hear about, obviously, you know, for college fans who don't, or excuse me, for NFL fans who don't necessarily follow the college game that closely and all that, so you get into first-round picks, and every year you hear about all the five stars and that kind of stuff. Well, but that's who Josh Connerly is. He was one of the top offensive tackles 3 years ago, and he came out of the Northwest. Obviously, he was from Seattle, and he was heavily coveted all over the country, could have gone virtually anywhere. And at the end, it was coming down to Oregon and Ohio State mainly. Washington was involved, SC was involved, and it was a big deal here because Dan Lanning in his first year, it was the transition from Cristobal to Lanning in that December, and Lanning and his staff really didn't get in place until January, and Connerly waited all the way till April, and that was the first five-star of the Lanning era, and it was a huge deal, and it was getting him out of Seattle and the rivalry that was. And, oh, yeah, by the way, when you come in with all of that, you're expected to reach this level. You're expected to be this first-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the significance to this region and to this fan base and what matters. But then he met it. He met at every stage of the way. He played as a true freshman, actually caught a touchdown freshman.
Wow.
They created a personnel package simply to get him on the field. And it was 14 personnel where he was, they call an extra tight end, it was literally 14J or 14 Josh. To get him out there. And if you go back and watch the 22 Oregon-Colorado game, that was pre-Dion Colorado. So that was the epically bad Colorado. And, yes, he caught a touchdown in that game. But he's been that guy. And then he was the starter the past 2 years at left tackle. And, like I say, played obviously extremely, extremely well, lived up to all of the hype, all of the potential, and that's how you can leave early and be a first-round pick as he was and have all the teams really in the last 5 to 10 picks of the first round were teams that he had either formals with or had top 30 visits with.
This team seemed to want to get a lot of character guys. What type of person is he?
Top of the list. Mm. And look, I'm not a fan. I'm not from here. I didn't go to school here. I'm not some homer at all. No, this is a guy who you hear from everybody in the room. You hear from every coach. You hear from every teammate about. You hear things like cerebral from an offensive lineman. You hear about how much extra time he's spending. You hear from the offensive coordinator here, Will Stein, and Dan Lanning, that Josh could play almost any position, athletically gifted enough to where he could play almost any position on the field, and the OC says even quarterback. They're not kidding. Mm. By way of understanding of the offense, yeah, like he spends that much more time. He cares to know that much more about everything that's going on, not just his blocking assignment. And you can say, well, he overloads himself. No. He wants to understand the game at that level. He cares about it at that level. He cares about his craft at that level. So, and then you add in the character bits and all the rest. No, this, like I say, from all accounts, really an upstanding young man and really an upstanding football player.
Wow. All right. This is a serious endorsement for this young man. Also super durable, right? Hasn't missed a game in 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I say, now it helps to be his size too.
He's
usually the one inflicting the pain and the damage, but yeah, or walling it off from two Heisman finalist quarterbacks. That helps. But yeah, no, he's been, like I say, they created a personnel package for him as a freshman, got him out there a whole bunch when they could. And for that matter, not just, like I mentioned, the touchdown catch, which was amusing, but also ran him out there as a 2-point conversion as a running back.
Wow.
And had him, try, which again, hard to stop a man that size, in short yardage. So it wasn't quite the tush push, but, they come up with another name for it, but yeah, they found out different ways to get him the ball, if need be. And it worked, it worked out well. So no, like I say, really athletically gifted. And look, I'm not going to say raw by any stretch of the imagination as a lineman, but does he still have room to grow? Absolutely. And I know everybody is going to way freak out about the one rep at the Senior Bowl at right
That's
tackle
so
against
stupid.
The nation's leader in sacks. It was his first rep at right tackle, not just of the day, I think in years, because he was a left tackle here. Mm-hmm. And then, by the way, like one rep later, then he stonewalled Mike Green.
Yeah.
That didn't quite get as much, credence and didn't get as many retweets.
People like to knock you down. They don't like to build you up. But I forgot, I didn't even think about this last night. Mariota's from Oregon. So he got somebody that could welcome him in and show him the way.
Yeah, a little bit. And not just somebody who, by the way, was here. Like, Marcus was here about a week and a half or so ago.
Okay.
And has regularly come back. They literally have the Mariota Center. That's where the team works out in here. He's a bit of a big deal in Oregon, you might say.
Yeah, clearly.
Little bit of a thing. And yes, I mean, this is somebody who is actively engaged with the team on a regular basis, to where I'm quite confident that Josh Connolly has spent time with Marcus Mariota.
We're talking with James Crepea here from the Oregonian, knows the Ducks inside and out. Let me ask you this. I happened to see Cliff Kingsbury just in the hallway last night, and he was super fired up. The Commander's social media channels later pointed out that Cliff left a note on Adam Peters' desk to make sure he takes the Oregon tackle. I don't know how much of the Commander's offense you've watched, or maybe previously what Cliff has run. You talked about the gifted level of athlete. What is his ability to kind of get downfield, get to the second level, get out in space? Because that's going to be asked of him, and it seems like Cliff thinks he can absolutely get it done.
Yeah, and those are things that hardly foreign concepts here. Again, they do a lot of pulling at Oregon, a lot, in their run game. And they do a lot of guard-tackle combo and counter and pulls and those sorts of things. And, yeah, Josh is one of those guys who they were very, very comfortable having do that. If you go back to the years, now this is Cristobal, so it was before landing in this crew and what he got to play in, but they kind of imposed that, and you saw that with Penei Sewell at the time. Well, Josh really, for all intents and purposes, really followed Penei. There was a slight gap there, but yeah, I mean, stylistically, and yeah, coordinators change and the like, but they were still extremely effective on offense, in particular in the run game as well. This past couple of seasons, we had Bucky Irving a year ago, and now Jordan James this year. Yeah, two really effective rushers, receivers out of the backfield. So getting tackles out in space, particularly they did a lot in the screen game each of the past 2 years. Believe me, just ask any Oregon fan who wants to see the ball thrown that much more, or any opposing fan base who wanted to discredit their quarterbacks about how much the screen game was there. But for the tackles, that means getting out in space and opening some stuff up on the perimeter. And yeah, Connolly did that quite a bit.
That's wild, man. Were you surprised he lasted until 29?
No. And I said, not as a knock, but no, for one, there were quite a few talented tackles in this class. Start there. Two, in terms of, I mentioned the teams who, you know, he's had formals with or top 30s, the two teams that he had both a formal and a top 30 with were the Texans and the Commanders. So I thought, my own self, that the second half of the first round was when my night was going to get rather interesting, and lo and behold, it did, because Derek Harmon had the same thing, both a formal and a top 30 with the Steelers, and was widely mocked to the Steelers, I think, by everyone with a pulse. So that made sense. And then when the Texans traded, I was like, okay, well, the Commanders are still there, and he had either a formal or top 30 with, I tweeted it last night, but I think it was like five of the final six teams picking in the first round. So I figured that of the teams that were most likely, Houston and Washington were at the top of the list, but it really could have been just about anybody. And then you saw tackles go to several of those teams where, frankly, if Washington didn't take Josh, then I thought that Kansas City was almost a lock at that point.
Okay. Well, I know folks inside the Commanders organization were really worried they would lose Connerly as early as 11 to San Fran. And then they were worried about the Bears trading back up to get him. And they were worried about the Rams, who ended up trading out of that pick at 26. I really wonder what L.A. might have done if they didn't trade out of that and just get an absurd offer from Atlanta to get out of that pick. We're talking with James Kripia here on the Rude Guest Hotline. You can follow him at James, C-R-E-P-E-A, writer for the Oregonian, covers the Ducks. It's got to be fun covering the Ducks. I mean, that's serious college football.
Good.
I mean, Oregon doesn't mess around, man. Looking to tonight, obviously Washington clearly scouted the Ducks heavy. Other Oregon players you expect to be drafted or even, what I was about to say, Pac-10 players, or just other Big Ten players that you can't wait to see where they end up tonight?
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Yeah, so for Oregon's purposes, this could be another program record weekend. Last year was really successful. Obviously, everybody knows, you know, Bo Nix, led the way, but there were several others in what was a record class, and several really talented players already made instant impacts in the league. That's what could be all over again and that much more this weekend. So, yes, Harmon and Connerly last night headlines it. But tonight, I think you're going to see Jordan Burch, the defensive end, who went up against Connerly a lot in practice. And they talked about how they made each other better over the last couple of years. I would expect him to go tonight. Could see the tight end Terrence Ferguson go tonight as well. I think it just kind of depends on exactly how much of a run is in the position, if you can get to the third round or not. Receiver Tez Johnson, he's electric. He's a water bug, but he's little.
Yeah, he's
small. Real little. So it's going to come down to which GM is going to put their name on the line with a guy who's under 165 pounds, but runs.
There's a guy in Kansas City that like exceptional speed.
Yeah, that's kind of the big deal. So he's one of them for sure. Their right tackle, Johnny Cornelius. I don't know about tonight, but we'll definitely get picked up throughout the course of the weekend. Jeff Bassa, their linebacker, their green dot this past year, their defensive leader, really kind of the face of the defense in a lot of ways outside of, yes, Harmon was highly productive, Burch is highly productive, but in terms of the middle linebacker spot, specifically Bassa. And they've got several others as well. I mentioned James before, the running back. Again, they've got a loaded draft class. They expect this to be anywhere from 10 to 12 guys get drafted.
Damn.
Can I ask you just about a couple other, I guess, West Coast Big Ten players that I think are really on Washington's radar that came in for top 30 visits?
Absolutely.
One of them is Femi Oladejo, edge rusher, kind of linebacker from UCLA. What have you thought of his game and how he projects as a pro?
Yeah, I also thought that he was certainly really effective. Now, again, UCLA was amid quite a rebuild.
Yeah.
So you can't just go by team success or even team defensive success, because ultimately that team had talent. And he was at or near the top of the list in that, as far as they're concerned, along with Medrano, one of the linebackers, Schwetzinger, one of the linebackers. They had talent on both sides of the ball, quite frankly. Yeah, they were just amid a really, really big rebuild. But Oladejo was quite an effective player. Now, exactly how it translates and all that, the harder part for the, you mentioned another West Coast guy from the old Pac-12 to now Big Ten. Now, he brought into the Big Ten to where he was productive against legitimate teams, legitimate opponents. That's where the four West Coast schools who joined the Big Ten, that to me was a bit of the barometer. And in terms of when you were doing it in the Pac-12, some of those teams, just calling it what it is, you really didn't know how some of those things translated, because how much of this was stat padding against guys who, frankly, ain't making the league.
Right.
It just wasn't happening.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when you're going up against offensive tackles who are also in the league or bound for the league, you know, who did UCLA play last year? Forget about whether they won or they lost, how the team did. That's neither here nor there. Who did Oladejo play and where was his production against? Well, he did it, you know, he had four TFLs against Iowa. Now that helps.
That's a hell of a line.
Yeah. You start there and you look at other teams that they play. Like I said, they even played LSU in non-conference, Oregon, Penn State. Yeah, like, you know, he had it against some very real teams. So he was one of those guys who I think he backed it up by the fact that he had the production. He didn't just stat pad against the likes of Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he didn't just completely tar and feather Rutgers, you know, and that's where he got his numbers from. Like, no, he got it against some of the legit teams in the Big Ten, and that's where, yes, I thought some of his numbers really stood out. Again, among a UCLA defense in particular that did have some talented players, it was just, yes, amid a big rebuilding season for them.
James, I got to say how thankful I am you did not take a shot at my Maryland Terrapins right there. You decided to go after Rutgers, and I appreciate that. One other player that qualifies, Jalen Smith, the corner from USC.
Yeah, I like
obviously
him.
That Trojans defense was getting torched most of the year, but I don't know what the hell they got going there. Smith has some real skill, I believe. He came to Washington for a top 30. What do you make of his NFL prospects?
Yeah, unfortunately, didn't get a chance to see as much of him because Oregon didn't get to play them, quite frankly. So
that's bizarre.
At least it's so just
how did they not let all the West Coast teams play each other?
Because they added a million teams.
Yeah,
when
you have
an
18-team conference, you know, until they expand the size of the schedule and the number of games the college
team plays, right.
It's going to be awfully hard to pull off full blown. They're never going to have a round robin again. That's for sure. But no, like I say, unfortunately, didn't have a chance to see as much of them just because these teams didn't play this past year. But in the past, when I did get a chance to see them, when they played, I believe, the year before, again, I get talented. But when you're talking about he kind of played, I think, both safety and corner, I think, at times. I think he stood out to me a little bit more at the safety spot, in fairness. At corner, probably, I wouldn't say undersized exactly, but maybe a little bit.
Yeah, 5'10".
But slightly, like I say, not a total knock, but slightly. But more in the safety capacity, from what I can recall of seeing him. Again, the guy who certainly stood out on that defense, like you said, the SC defense has had a little bit of difficulty the past couple of years, though in fairness, that's mainly been on the line of scrimmage more than anything. They've started to improve that, but in terms of more recent years, and now as I'm looking back, he actually didn't end up playing at Oregon even in 23. So like I say, it's been mainly in the preparation for that game. I think I was watching
he's
where he had some productive games, but
He's a late round.
Like
pick.
I said, I haven't had a chance to see him myself in a while.
Hey, James, thank you so much for the time, man.
Appreciate
we really
you, man.
Appreciate it, dude.
Thanks, guys.
All right, that is James Crepia here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Yeah, you can follow him at James, JamesCrepea. J-Dog's forever. He was really good. Dude, I mean, damn. Talk about J-Dog's. People are into Josh Connerly out in
hell yeah.
out in Eugene, man.
Well, we know he may have an opportunity to score a touchdown now.
People get high in Oregon. They're really high on Josh Connerly. When we come back, we're going to make time for some Caps hockey. Carl Alsner joins the program.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects to it.
Strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we started together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.